Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the 15th episode of Interlude Army. Today we'll be talking about August D2, last week's BTS streams, and more. We also had the chance to interview an amazing charity fan base called One in an Army. Let's get it.
Welcome to Interlude Army. I'm Roseanne.
And I'm Jose.
Today, we are finally starting our new segment called Army Terms. We're inviting our premium members to join us on this podcast by choosing a word that's Army and BTS related. So they're going to take the word or that sentence and explain it. For example, a chosen premium member will pick a word like no jams or even I purple you and explain this term to new armies or even armies who have an idea about what it means but don't know the exact definition. We'll have them record an audio clip and include that in our podcast. Here's our first army term by Emily.
Jung shook, when your entire world has been shook to the core by a BTS moment.
Yay, thank you, Emily. Jung shook. That's a great one to start off our army term segment. Like Roseanne said, please don't feel discouraged and send in any other army term that's army or BTS related that you think army should learn or have a refresher. So how are you doing today, Roseanne?
Hi, I'm doing Jung Shook. I'm just kidding. That doesn't even go. But the last couple of days have been crazy. In a good way, in this whole ARMY BTS world. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I've been buying more plants. This plant journey is continuing to be continued. But I don't know, lately, I don't know where you guys are at around the world, but allergy season is basically here. I don't know, when you get older, you develop these allergies that you never had before, and Lord, I guess it's a very, very common thing.
I understand, because over here in Texas, it's so weird. Like, Texas weather, I'm sure you've heard of it, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners know about it too. Like, literally one day you're in a tank top, the next year you're wearing a jacket. Like, it's so crazy. So all of the temperatures, like, going up and down, like, so drastically, uh-huh. Like, that affects us. Like, yeah. And especially me, too. I have, like, allergies, too. And so, like, one day I'll be like, oh, my God, I woke up with, like, a stuffy nose or runny nose. No. And then the next day I'm, like, okay. And I'm like, what's going on? So I don't know if it's like that over there in Nevada.
I mean, the weather here, I think it's because we live in the desert and we just have a lot of, like, sand and dust, so mm-hmm. I think that's what's contributing to my allergies. I don't really know what I'm allergic to, but yeah, that's growing up sucks. I'm just kidding, guys. No, listen. But yes, Jose, how have you been doing?
Not too good. And you know this, Roseanne, we've been in touch.
Oh yeah.
But for our listeners, I actually do want to apologize because I might sound a little bit weird, or like my voice may be a little bit horse. I'm going through it, y'all. Just keep me in your thoughts and pray for me. I was worse though, so that's a plus. I am feeling way better than I was this past weekend. Like, I was going through it this weekend. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I was gonna make it, for the podcast this week, but I'm here, thankfully. So that's a good sign. You know, I'm feeling better. And yeah, I mean, other than that, honestly, nothing else other than August D.
I know, right?
Because as soon as I was August D dropped and like I was able to enjoy it, I got sick. And so I'm like, I wasn't able to like enjoy my weekend or anything. So I've just been listening to August D ever since his mixtape dropped.
I was joking around saying like, oh my God, August D took your voice away. You must have, he must have been screaming, going crazy.
You know what? I have something to pick with Yoongi. I think he took my voice away. But yeah, guys, that's what, sorry, I didn't even say what I'm sick of. I like, I lost my voice this week. And so I'm barely getting it back, and that, but I'm feeling way better. But yeah, Roseanne did say that, like, oh my God, August D took it. I'm like, you know what? He probably did. He snatched it right up.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better now, Jose, and glad that you were able to pull through, and hopefully you could recover and become 100% better soon.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
Speaking about August D, though, and his mixtape. Woo, that countdown. So we finally realized what that countdown was for. Yes. And he literally tricked us because it, instead of like dropping it, you know how like it's a countdown, right? So it started off like D7. We thought he would continue with all the way to like D1, D0, or, you know, but he literally dropped it on D2, which is August D2. Smart. Y'all got us.
Yeah, it is smart because that's what the title of the mixtape is, D2. Yeah.
He really got us, though. Freaking Yoongi was all telling us, oh, it's not dropping anytime soon.
And I know, right? And we actually, like, all ARMY were on Twitter saying, like, he lied. But then there were some, and I was like, you know what? They're kind of right. Like, when the whole V-Live happened with RM, where he stated that we shouldn't expect it anytime soon or anything like that, ARMY were like, hey, in his defense, he did say, don't expect it tomorrow or today or tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he did say that. And I'm like, you know what? Touche. Like, he did say, like, not tomorrow or anything. And so he literally didn't. So he did wait a little bit and then like, dropped it. So
a couple of weeks. It wasn't, you know, a day after. It was a couple of weeks. Okay. All right, Suga, you got us.
We forgive you.
We forgive you. It's okay. I mean, but what was your thoughts on the music video?
As soon as it started with the voice of a man and it's like super like stadium like big, huge like voice came over, I was like, yo, this looks like it's about to be like a movie. Like straight up. I was like, this is some production. And then the temple, the setting, everything, and the outfit. I thought it was a really, really, really good music video. Like, I'm still trying to figure out. I don't know if you might be able to answer this for me, but if it was like him fighting against himself, I think it was. I think it was like two sides to him. Like he was the emperor or the king, I guess. And then he was also the one that like was taken to him. But I don't know, because at the end, well, I mean, it could be, because at the end, you know, like he shoots the gun and everything, and I'm just like, oh my God, so is he killing one side of himself, right?
You know what, there's two interpretations to it, and I could see it that way, because someone did mention that the king Yoongi represented the industry and like, you know, the higher ups, the people that he's going against, and that the, you know, the street Yoongi represented himself and what he had to go through, and you know, the people who were at the temple that was also like banging their head was a representation of ARMY and us joining forces with him to take down the industry. That was one interpretation. The other one that I did see on Twitter, this is not my theory, but like they mentioned that it's like the king represented himself now, you know, how he's like on top of the world, he accomplished all his dreams, but then that street Yoongi is kind of like humbling him down, like, don't forget where you come from type of thing.
Ooh,
right? You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool too. So I guess the two interpretations already is just awesome. I wonder what it
like
is.
they fit. Yeah,
they fit perfectly. The only thing that we got, though, because Yoongi dropped the behind the scene, the only thing that he really mentioned about the storyline was that the butcher in the beginning where he was like, he made eye contact with and stuff, I didn't know that that butcher was also the executioner and that they made a pact and like an agreement to be like,
Ooh, girl, you just blew my mind.
Yeah,
oh,
I didn't know that. You mentioned it. And I'm like, yo, I wouldn't have even caught that. But I guess he made it, you know, an alliance. And that's why he was like, ropes were cut.
No wonder. Like, even like we both reacted to it, guys, by the way, if you haven't checked it out. Our reactions are on our channels on YouTube. I do remember, like, when I first reacted to it, I was like, oh my God, plot twist. Like, because at the end, it's like, I thought the guy was going to, like, kill him or, like, decapitate him. But he just ended up cutting the rope so that he gave him the gun and then he shot the emperor. So that was like, what? No. But now that you're saying, that's, like, double blowing my mind because that just means they had a pact ever since they saw each other in the beginning of the music.
Yeah, so everything was planned out. So all these behind the scenes, I always wish that they would, like, tell us what's really going on. Because it would be cool if he told us, like, what the difference was between, you know, like, King Yoongi and then the Street Yoongi. You know, theories are always fun, though, you know, coming up with our own thing. Oh, but you mentioned, though, that when he shot the Emperor, apparently armies found out that that gun was called Colt 1860 Army. So I don't know if, like, they intentionally used that gun because it had the name Army.
I mean, you know everything's intentional with Big Hit and BTS.
Of course.
Army are so smart. Like, to be able to, like, find out what the exact gun that he used is. Like, I'd be like, what?
I know. Oh, what did you think of Jungkook and Jin's cameo?
Wow. Well, it made me laugh because, like, I think that was the intention, because even the faces that they were, well, the face that Jin made, obviously, when he bumps into Yoongi, like, when he turns around and he makes this, like, shook face of, like, did you really just bump into me? That, like, made me laugh so much. And then I didn't even realize that Jungkook was right there until they started fighting, because I was looking at Jin, I was like, oh my God, that's Jin. And then once they started fighting, I was like, he's fighting with somebody, and I paused it and it was like profile, and I was like, that's Jungkook. Oh my God,
they're I love it. I love the cameo, it's so good.
I just want to talk on the different looks that he served us. You know what? Yes, he has an effect on me. I'll say it. Yoongi has an effect. Mm-hmm. I know I've been denying it, but my denial is basically my admittance of it. The scar.
The scar.
I don't know why the scar was like, really? You're going to just add on to his handsome. I mean, I don't even know how to, because like a scar is not really like meant to be there. Like, obviously it means that you were wounded or whatever, but I don't know, it just added something extra to his look.
You know how we joke around, and even Suga himself has joked around being like, I'm a bad boy, you know, kind of image, but that scar really fits. I don't know, it just, it looks good on him.
I know it feels weird saying, because it's like you don't want him to have like a huge scar like across his eye. But it's like, since he has, obviously it's fake and it's like prosthetic or whatever, his makeup, but like it's just like, well, I mean, he still looks good.
But as far as the mixtape, you posted your first listen on YouTube. I never got to watch that yet.
What did I think about the mixtape? It's a masterpiece. But I mean, it is Yoongi, so we do know it was gonna be a masterpiece. Of course. I loved it. It takes you on a roller coaster, but not like, you know, sometimes like an album can be like, oh my God, there's some hype songs, and then it takes you like all the way down. Like, his was, I wouldn't say it was like mountain, like where you're like really really high and then you go really really low. I feel like his was like waves of like feelings and emotions throughout the mixtape, like whatever he decided was gonna be track number two, track number three. Like, I feel like he did a really good job putting the order. I do have some standouts. I love the entire mixtape, and maybe this will change later on.
Oh yeah,
but sure. It still remains as the same as my first listen video where I reacted to the album. My standards, so 28 people.
Yes.
And Han Sul.
Ah.
But I really do love What Do You Think. I feel like I need to drop it like it's hot.
What do you think? Yeah, especially when it started, What Do You Think? I'm like, oh, yo, I already love this. Like, it is in my top. It is in my top as well. You know, I noticed a lot of people really loved the song People, and I think it's because it's different. You know what I mean? It's not like something that, oh, Suga wouldn't do that. It's more of like, compared to his first mixtape, he experimented a lot more with this, and it's
like he sings a lot in this mixtape. Yeah. I noticed that. So do you have standouts?
Right now my standouts is Dear My Friend and What Do You Think, and then also People. So I think it's because, well, Dear My Friend, it's another song too that's kind of like, wow, this doesn't really sound like a song Yoongi would have in his mixtape, but it is. And I guess the message behind it as well. Those are my standouts for now, but you know, it's going to always change. We're still constantly listening to the whole album. Yeah. So, but I'm just really happy that with this mixtape in particular, he did experiment a lot more. And we kind of knew that was coming because we've seen how much Yoongi has grown as an artist. And like how expressive he is, so I'm just really proud.
Definitely, but I mean, taking it back to Deshita, we didn't even talk about the song Roseanne. Ooh. We just talked about that music video.
I know. Okay.
Quick. So the song, what do you think?
I loved how hype it is. Like already, I think you know, in the beginning, it starts off with that guy singing traditionally, and then it goes straight into like the modern rap hip hop, like Deshita. Mm-hmm. So it's. I could already imagine, like, if we were to listen to it live, we just be headbanging with it.
Oh my god.
You know, it's that hype of the song that we love and we... But the lyrics behind it, too, and then this is what I guess I talked about in my reaction. Like, I wish I did understand Korean because, you know, his lyrics are always so clever and there's just more to it. But...
A lot of wordplay.
Well, yeah, a lot of wordplay and meaning behind it. But it made me feel so powerful.
Yes, it makes you feel confident.
It does.
Like, it really boosts you up. You're like, yes.
Yeah, like after listening to that song, I just wanted to go out the house and be like, yeah.
It's a bop. A bop and a half. Let me give it a 2-bop rating. Like you said, I can see ourselves like headbanging in the concert. Like it's unapologetically like, this is what I gotta say. These are straight up facts. I'm talking about me, myself, and I. And I'm not flexing. Like, this is all, like, straight up facts. You know, I don't need to do flexing. I love that he didn't call... And that's why he's a lyrical genius. He doesn't need to call out anyone or any group of people. And he has people shook it. He has people stirred up. He has people talking mess. Oh, and that's the power. That's the power he has. Like, he literally doesn't say anything about anyone in particular or any group of people. And they got him shook it. And that's the thing. Like... If the shoe fits, you know, wear it. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
That I was like, yo, he wasn't calling out names. He wasn't pointing any fingers at anyone specifically. But yeah, like I said, whoever fits the shoe, if they feel offended for that person, then they should really review on why they feel that way. But I didn't even mention the flow, the flows of his verses. I love how diverse he is. A lot of mainstream artists just don't have that type of flow. Like it sticks to one type of like rhythm flow, but he knows how to switch it up.
He switches it up, yeah.
Just wanted to point that out. I love that. I loved it.
And 84 number ones on iTunes, by the way. So yes. Good job, Army.
Good job. That's insane. He's beating lot of records with this. And it's a free mixtape. Don't forget to say that it's free. They literally gave us Dropbox links.
That's amazing because it's like it's the same with like RM and J-Hope. Mm-hmm. Like these mixtapes are free, and the fact that like we want to support them like by buying it, actually, like they are giving this for free, but we're actually, you know what, let's support financially, right? Streaming and everything. So yeah, great job, Army.
Mm-hmm. So like literally right after Suga dropped his August D2 mixtape, he decided to go on YouTube Live. They'd be going on late though, so I would be missing a lot of these live streams. Yeah. But I'm glad that we're able to like go back and rewatch it. But he finally continued his painting while listening to his August D2 mixtape. So, you know, it was pretty cool. But this time around, he tried adding the waveform. And for those who don't know what a waveform is, it's like an image that represents an audio signal or recording. And let's just say it didn't really go exactly planned. I felt really bad for him too because like, you know, he had the little cutout and he spread the paint. Yeah. And like as soon as he took it out, I guess the paint didn't really stick to the painting and it just looked really messed up. I was like,
oh no.
It felt really bad. But, you know, he tried teaching us a little lesson. I think at the end of the stream, he was all like, it didn't go the way he planned. But he did mention that something new came out of it. So, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of people still thought that that was going to be the album cover, but it wasn't. Like, he's just like, guys, this is just a painting that I'm working on. It's not my album cover or my mixtape cover. But it's like Army or Smart. Like, we know we have to look at everything, so.
We do, yeah. We have to, you know, keep an eye out on for everything. Anything is possible at this point. You know how we have that theory, too, that maybe it might be something included in their upcoming album? I mean, oh, that could be another option as well. That could still be.
Yeah, because we don't know, like, what final outcome of the painting will be. Or true. That he intends it to be. So, we still don't know if, like, this could be inspired by the new album in some way. So, I mean, anything can happen.
Really can, even maybe, like, the color themes. But remember, Suga is in charge of the album design. There you go. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we're just trying to connect things. It might not even connect, but, you know.
So, not only was he on another YouTube live stream, but he also had another Suga FM on V Live. Like, yo, he's really, really active.
I know.
And this time, his special guest was J-Hope. So Yay. We had Soap in the house.
Oh, my God. Did you see? I low-key, like, I wish I could be very confident in doing challenges. Because I think I only did, like, one or two challenges. But it was very hard for me to, like, get up and learn it or do something, you know. Uh-huh. But J-Hope and Suga recorded a hashtag Dechita challenge on TikTok. I mean, it's literally just headbanging moves, but did you see, like, other people's, like, interpretation and their versions of that challenge?
I saw a couple, and like I said, Army are so, like, smart and talented, because it's, like, to be able to, like, make, I wouldn't be able to make up, like, a whole little choreo for the song. Like, I'm not that talented. I'd be just headbanging and, like, that's moving it. My arms in some type of way, or I don't know. I'd be like, I can't do no innovative moves like that.
Right?
But I did participate in the chicken noodle soup challenge.
Oh, yes, Jose.
And they liked it. I was like, OMG. But, I mean, that's just because I heard you say that you've only done it twice, and I've only done it once, and it was for the chicken noodle soup.
No, but that's crazy, though. I love... Oh, yeah, if you guys didn't know, Jose posted it on TikTok, his challenge on TikTok, and they liked it.
That's literally the only video I have.
It was worth it, though, Jose. It was worth it. So the first challenge I did was for J-Hope's baseline, which an ARMY did a choreography to it, and then, like, I basically just followed the choreography. And the second one was for IDOL, because... They announced that they wanted people to send their clips of dancing and stuff like that to IDOL.
Yes, for the Army version.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, yo, that's cool. I'm like, you know what? Let me just get up and try. For those who didn't know, I was very surprised. When they posted the Nicki Minaj IDOL version, people were like tweeting me, Brazan, you're in it. You're in the music video.
Yes, you were in it at the end.
But that's, yeah. So it's really cool, though, Jose. Like, I'm so happy for you because just that... feeling of knowing that they acknowledged you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
we totally went on a tangent.
But... We went on a tangent. Anyways, oh, some of the Dechita challenge that I saw, like, people were headbanging, but every time they would headbang, their outfit would change.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was really cool. And they added, like, the little scar on their eyes. I'm like,
what? Girl, I would not be that smart. I'd be like, this is all y'all getting, one look.
Just a
headbang. And probably a Sharpie going across my eye.
A couple days after, Jin and RM hopped on V Live to stream. And it's cool because all of these V Live streams have been, like, activity based.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it kind of keeps us motivated and probably gives us ideas and, like, during this lockdown or quarantine, like, oh, I could do this too. Did you see what they were coloring on? I've never done that before, but it was like a scratch coloring book. Scratch it and the colors will show.
So it's like one of those you know how they do some for, like, kids, like Crayola has those markers where, like, it doesn't work on anything else except the special paper, and like whenever you color it reveals what it is. It kind of reminded me of that. Not saying that they're kids, I'm just saying that it reminded me of that.
One thing though that stood out in particular was they mentioned that they filmed something until 4 a.m. the other day.
Yes.
What do you think it is? Watch it just be a commercial. Like, it's not even, like, anything related.
I mean, it could be because they have partnerships with, like, companies and stuff. But if it was something related to, like, their work, like BTS, maybe mm-hmm. it's something for Festa that's coming up. Or something for BangBangCon the Live. Or another meeting. Who knows, you know? Like,
true. It could be anything.
So, Jin wasn't just on VLive with RM. He also had his individual YouTube stream. So what Jin was doing, he was practicing playing piano. And I thought it was cute because when he would like make like mistakes here and there, like he would keep saying sorry. And it was like, oh no, like you don't have to apologize. Like you're doing great. Like you play better than me.
Right?
Like I don't even know how to do anything. But anywho.
During the stream, though, he did finally mention what he was in charge of. Because you know how every stream, the members would say, I'm in charge of this. So mm-hmm. Jin said that at first, they were going to have him, like, manage the costuming, the costumes. But he said he didn't really feel confident. And I'm assuming this is, like, the outfits for, like, the music video or even the photo shoots. I'm not exactly sure what he meant right. by that. But, you know, one of those things. So he didn't really feel confident. So he instead he wanted to help Yoongi with the album design. And so that's what he's in charge of right now. So I can't wait to see what Jin and Yoongi put together. So we have no idea. I wonder if they're going to continue these live streams and show them creating the design. What do you think?
That would be cool.
But that's kind of like exposing their work. You know how like, I would think that they don't want to expose too much because there are like competitions.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like it would be cool, but maybe it would be like giving too much. Cause not only because it's like for ARMY, it might be like, oh, we might spoil it. It might not be that exciting once we do reveal mm-hmm. everything. But obviously business wise as well, like they might, like you said, they might not want like other people like copying them or like taking ideas from them, you know, because at the end of the day they're still artists, you know, they don't want to have their work plagiarized in any type of way. What I did what's interesting is that like I wonder like what made him like feel like not confident for the costuming, you know. The only thing that I thought maybe could make him feel not confident enough for the costuming was maybe like you said, it could be for the photo shoots, it could be for the music video, but I also thought maybe the costuming, he also has to be in charge of, like, the wardrobe for performances and interviews, maybe, or, like, maybe a type of, like, VCRs or stuff like that. Like, we don't know if it was specific to one thing, or maybe mm-hmm. they wanted him to be in charge of, like, the whole department of costuming, and maybe he's like, wait a minute, like, I might not be able to do this, like, all of what you want. So let me just help Yoongi instead. But we don't know. Maybe he still might, like, you know, like, have some involvement with the costume.
Yeah. Because isn't costuming and stylist different? Because we know that RM and J-Hope are in charge of, like, the styling. So it's different from costuming. So, you know, we're still learning about these departments and stuff, but...
Yeah. You're right. I like, now that you bring it up, like, styling is basically what goes with what, you know, like, what's the entire look, mm-hmm. like, with the hair, the accessories, the shoes, the maybe the makeup as well or something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what all styling is. Obviously the clothes too, but as far as costuming goes, maybe it's the creation of those clothes.
Like the theme, the concept. He has to come up with, like, the main.
Exactly. Main. So, like, for example, it would be like Jin draws or comes up with a presentation of, like, these are the themes or concept. This is the mm-hmm. type of jacket, pant, shirt, shoes, whatever. And then they make it, and then J-Hope and RM are the ones who put it together, as in like, okay, V's gonna wear this, Jungkook is gonna wear this, this goes with that, you know what I mean?
I can see how that's overwhelming for him, but we'll see like if he still decides to play a little role in it or how this is all gonna work out. But you know, like, it's always the way Jin like dresses people, because I think it's, he mentioned about Spinebreaker, how he was like the costuming for Spinebreaker. I love how open and free, and even how he dressed himself like during trips like at Malta. It's always fun, and maybe he just he likes doing it for fun, but maybe if it's like a managing thing, it's just overwhelming, and that's totally understandable, you know?
Got you. Like, maybe he's like is like so relaxed and stuff, but then he's like thinking as far as business wise and stuff, he's like, you know what, let me step back for this, like, let me not take on it and just help out with Yoongi and the album design, which, by the way, that still is a lot, like the album design, because that's another visual aspect of the project.
Well, regardless of what Jin decides to do, I know he's going to do an amazing job, and I hope like him helping or being a management or managing something will help boost his like confidence. So he'll do amazing, though, we already know that.
So those were the updates we had for today, guys. Let's start our favorite segment, Love Army. Yay! Where we read letters written by you guys. If you want to submit your letter or voice recordings, please email them to interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com. Don't feel discouraged if we haven't read your letter yet, because we could always read it in our future episodes.
Keep sending them through, you guys, because we love reading your guys' letters. Definitely. And hopefully you guys enjoy listening to these letters as well. And this brings you encouragement and strength. So we're reading one letter today from Rara. Hello, Roseanne and Jose. Greetings from Indonesia. Hope you guys doing well. It took a lot of courage to send this letter to you guys since English is not my first language. But I really want to share my story of how I became an ARMY. It's kind of ironic considering I used to dislike BTS and wonder what makes people love them. I was introduced to BTS Universe around October 2019. That time, I made a friend during a drawing workshop. Soon I learned that she is into BTS and she makes fan arts. Oh, her Twitter account is HatSugi8. Naturally, I was amazed by her fan arts and I was inspired to make one myself. One drawing leads to another. I started to draw V because he always caught my eyes. And then I draw Jimin, then J-Hope. I kept wondering, why are they all so strangely aesthetic? Then, because a small curiosity, I started to watch their music videos. I remembered the first music video I watched was Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Bangtan-bomb's theory videos, Bon Voyage, and some episodes of Run BTS. Their storyline from Bangtan Universe intrigued me so much, I can say that Roseanne's theory video about the note storyline makes me want to know more and more about them. It's just too addicting.
One day I got caught drawing Jimin's face during class by some of my students. They went fangirl mode and screamed at my ear. Soon they filled my notifications with BTS trivias and contents I've never seen before. I never know that standing BTS can help me to form such a strong bond with my students like that. I am a baby ARMY, but I can feel that their energy, their music, and their positivity are able to make me start again something that I've lost interest in, like drawing, losing weight, and singing. This year, I had my first comeback, and I can't help to feel excited each day. Waiting for new contents, it feels like I have something to look up to again. I started to understand why a lot of people around me adore them so much. Why they want to protect their BTS from haters so bad, which I failed to understand before, but now I can say proudly that I am an ARMY too. That I also will fight for my boys because I love them so much. That's all for me. Thank you so much, Roseanne and Jose. I will always look up to your podcast and videos on YouTube. You guys are my favorite content creators. Oh my god. Thank you so much, Rara.
Thank you, Rara. Wow. It's so interesting to get people's stories from, you know, before they got into BTS. And it's just amazing to see how much BTS has inspired them and transformed them and changed their mindset, you know?
Exactly. Like, thank you so much for being so open and, like, admitting that you actually didn't like them, you didn't understand why people mm-hmm. like them, and then like you totally switched it around and be like, you know what, I love them now. So yeah, thank you so much for being so open again to every one of you that have sent your letters. Like, you guys don't have to, and the fact that you choose to be so open with us, that it means a lot to us. So thank you so much.
It really does. Thank you.
And thank you for supporting our channels as well, not just the podcast. That's amazing.
Yes, Sarah. Then all the way from Indonesia as well. That's just mind-blowing. Are you listening to this episode on Himalaya? If you are, congratulations, because you're already using the best new podcast app out there. Not only does Himalaya have tons of cool features like curated podcast playlists and collections, along with personalized recommendations, but our brand new members-only version of this, Interlude Army Plus, is only available on the Himalaya app. When you become a member of Interlude Army Plus, you'll get all ad-free, exclusive episodes, giveaways, and more. You'll even get these episodes a day early. And the best part is, Interlude Army Plus is available for just $4.99 a month. So download Himalaya and join Interlude Army Plus today. Welcome back to Interlude Army. Today we have a special guest joining us. We have a member of a BTS Army monthly charity program called One in an Army. Please welcome Erica. Woo.
Hi.
Go ahead and introduce yourself, Erica.
Okay, I'm Erica. I am one of the members of One in an Army. We are, as far as we know, probably the only specifically charity-focused BTS fan base. So we work with Army all around the world, and we set up our projects by doing one project every month. So we support one charity every month, and we encourage Armies to support it, and we send the thanks to BTS, and we really involve ourselves in doing good in BTS's name. And that's basically what we do. So we've been in operation for about 2 years now, a little over 2 years. And we are currently working on BTS's anniversary project.
Wow. No, that's awesome. Like, first of all, I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time to join us in today's interview. But also, thank you for, you know, you guys have been working hard to create and promote all these charities from around the world. And that's insane, because it's really amazing to see all these armies come together to accomplish all these amazing things. And it makes others realize that, I noticed that you guys mentioned this on your website, that even if you can only give a small amount, just giving anything, even if it's small, can create a substantial impact when we all work together. And it was just really awesome to see that, because I know armies always worry about, I can only do this much, I can go only give this much. But it, like, us coming together really makes a big impact. So it's awesome that you guys are doing that. So
yeah, you know, we at some point we realized that we are such a huge and powerful force together. And mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when before we started, we had seen armies doing like incredible things just independently. Like, I mean, even things like the Times Square billboards for the birthdays, and I mean, you know, huge, immense projects that were done by one fan base or another. And even the silly things that we've done, you know, like we were just selling out things in minutes. like, I always use this example. I know it drives my the other members of the team crazy, but it's what struck me, because this is something that happened just before we started. And that mm-hmm. was, it was Yoongi's birthday. And, you know, there was a little recording that they put on Twitter, and where I think it's Hobi and someone else, and they were bringing him a cake. And in the bottom of the screen, there was a little rug with a cat on it. Do you guys remember the cat rug?
Oh my God. Yes, that cat rug.
The cat rug. And not only did Army find the rug, the seller, sell it out, break their website, and their entire Twitter was filled with cat rug memes within just like, and you could barely see it. It was a little thing in the corner of the video, and someone pointed it out, and it just blew up from there. And I remember just laughing so much that day and thinking, wow, the power of this fandom. It's amazing.
Right.
And so I think around that time, you know, they had just launched the UNICEF project as well a couple of months before that. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of different factors came together. And, you know, we started thinking, you know, I mean, each, you know, armies individually started thinking mm-hmm. about how incredibly powerful this fandom was and how we could focus that energy in positive directions. And so when someone made a tweet kind of asking for help in Syria, for a project mm-hmm. in Syria, a lot of us, you know, just kind of jumped on the thread and were discussing it and how great it would be to focus this power into really doing something positive in the world in BTS's name. And so that's how that got started. And what you mentioned about people being able to give only one, you know, one a little bit, and even if they can't give anything, I mean, the immense power of all of us together multiplies any one person's contribution immensely. So even if someone only had $1 to give, that's $1 in the sea of thousands of army dollars, you know, mm-hmm. and that all builds up. And so that's why we kind of built that model, because we know not everybody is able to, you know, give money, donate money. We know not everybody, you know, always has the capabilities of each other, but working together, even if they're doing something like sharing the project so that other armies can see it and they might contribute, and just encouraging one another. You know, all of these things have an impact, and we've seen it have an impact not only on the people that we've assisted, but also the organizations have been so incredibly grateful and blown away by Army's power and Army's spirit of giving and all of that. So it's really amazing to watch.
No, it really is. And like you mentioned, for those who are listening, if you're not able to give, even just sharing that post or sharing that news brings awareness to other people who haven't seen that yet. So, and the fact that we are able to put our focus on something very positive, that's awesome, because we need that. We need all the positivity. But like when it started out, how many of you guys first started out, and like how many people are working on one in an army now? And it's all volunteers, I believe, right?
Oh yeah, we have a strict policy against any, you know, taking any compensation, or we have a strict policy over touching money whatsoever, because that's just a minefield that we did not want to get into. So basically what we do is encourage people. We connect Army to the organizations themselves. So we're all volunteers. You know, some of us are in school, some of us are working, you know, we're all dealing with this current situation in the world right now. But when we started, I guess there were maybe around 12 people initially that got involved. And I think of those 12, there's maybe four of us from the original that are still in it. And then everybody else is new. And we may have about 20, 25 people now. And we've organized ourselves into like teams to handle different parts of the projects. So we have our outreach and research teams. So, you know, that will research the organizations, check and make sure that they're legitimate, see what they're doing with all their funds. And then the outreach, who reaches out, emails, you know, contacts people. And my favorite is the design team, who makes all of our glorious, gorgeous posters. I'm such a big fan of theirs and their talent. I cannot have any kind of talent like that. I'm a strictly stick figure person. So every month I'm like, oh my gosh, what did you guys make? It's beautiful. And then we have a team that handles our website. And then we have a team that manages the map. And I think I got pretty much everybody. So we've organized ourselves that way. So whenever mm-hmm. we are able to, you know, most of us will at least give a couple hours per day to come in and you know, work on whatever projects that we've divided the work up into sections, and we work on what we can and we make something happen every month.
Wow, that's really amazing. But to you guys, or to you personally, what was the most rewarding aspect of this fan base?
Oh my gosh, the most rewarding aspect. I really am so just blown away by how much, you know, love and support and, you know, like a family spirit there is in Army. I mean, seeing everybody encouraging one another and seeing everybody so happy at seeing the effects that we're able to create. Because one of the things that we make sure to do is to have a report at the end of every campaign. and we go back and we tell everybody what we accomplished. And one of the things that we specifically don't focus on, I mean, we always report how much money was raised, but we really don't focus on raising money. We focus on the impact that we have made by contributing to this program. So we always ask the organizations, what does this money provide? What is it going to do? How many people is it going to help? And that's the information that we report back. And so when armies see these reports and they are just so happy at seeing how many lives we've changed and the sorts of things that we can do together and changing the, I guess, you know, there's a lot of stigma on the internet, especially for, you know, army and, you know, fans of other Korean groups. And so people really feel that gratitude because some people get caught up in that kind of negative side of things. You know, maybe they're following people and they just are constantly seeing nothing but the drama and the fights and things like that. And so sometimes when people are first introduced to our projects and seeing how this side of Army and this is what Army is really about and this is what Army truly does and this is how we come together, and you know, those like 20 people over there that are constantly fighting are not representative of the fandom. This is what's representative of the fandom, you know, because is what, you know, BTS themselves have made an example of, you know, giving back and giving back through their music and giving back through charity and just, you know, supporting one another. So emulating that is something that Army really does. And so seeing people become so overwhelmed and grateful to find this out this side when all they've been seeing, you know, I guess when they first come in, they might have just gotten down the wrong road of, you know, drama and things like that. And starting to lose hope and, you know, oh, I don't want to, you know, I'm not sure I want to be associated with it anymore. And seeing that renewed faith in Army and all the love and all the support that goes around, that's what's really gratifying for me particularly.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's no. And that's one thing I want to mention, too. It's like the negative people could always be the loudest as well. And they've already mentioned that a lot of us as humans, we react to negative stuff right away, which is why the news is always filled with negative things. You know what I mean? Because we react to it. Our body reacts to it. But they don't realize, like you mentioned, Army, there is a huge side of Army where it's all about love, gratitude, giving. Mm-hmm. And I would wish that a lot of us would focus on that more. And that's why you guys are really helping us, helping gather all these armies that really want to help. And I want us to focus more on the positivity than, you know, don't fall for all the negativity on the timeline. If you do see negativity, you know what you mean. But what is the biggest obstacle that you guys have faced so far?
You know, when we were first starting out, there had been a lot of, I mean, we definitely weren't the first armies to think of doing charity projects. I mean, you know, especially on the boys' birthdays, and especially once they stopped accepting gifts and armies really wanted to express, you know, our love and gratitude and support for them in other ways. And so this concept of taking on their example by giving to charity, it's not something that we invented, obviously, but you know, at the time there also was a lot of like people that would come in and see this massive force and try to take advantage of it and coming in, and you know, so there were scams going on and things like that, and it was really like the trust factor was difficult. And so that's another reason one of the first things that we did was make a no handling money policy, because we wanted to ensure that, you know, anything that people donated is going directly to the charity. It's not coming through us whatsoever. We don't even share projects, you know, that people you know, run GoFundMe pages and things like that. Some of them we would love to share because there are amazing projects out there, but to keep the security and the integrity of trust that we've, you know, built up, we have to draw the line at not sharing things that we cannot verify that is going to a legitimate organization that is legitimately doing the work that they said they are. So overcoming that was one of the first things. Another thing that kind of lingered for a long time is that we've been working on trying to get people over that hump is what you mentioned earlier is, you know, no matter what little amount people can give, you know, some people, they would feel bad. They're like, I want to help, but I only have this and I only have that and I could only give this, and they would feel bad and we would feel so bad that they would feel bad. And we're constantly like trying to overcome that. It does not matter if, like, you know, even if you only had a penny, like some of these organizations, you know, they have a minimum because they have processing fees and things like that. So usually mm-hmm. we try to keep it around a dollar, US dollar, if possible. Sometimes it goes up to like five or something, depending on what platform they're using. But even if someone only had a penny and they wanted to give that, even if they couldn't, that sincerity and that desire to give that is the most important thing, you know, and the fact that they would want to, you know, help in any way they can and share it and things like that. So getting people past the idea that you have to give a lot of money in order to make a difference was a kind of a big hurdle. It still comes up, but not as much anymore, because I think we've okay. really kind of nailed down the message of the money is not the important thing, you know. It's mm-hmm. the fact that we're doing something together. And, you know, those who can give it. And those who, you know, can contribute in another way, can contribute in another way. So that was a big hurdle, because a lot of times you see like fundraisers and charities and things like that, they focus on the money and they say, we raised, you know, $5,000 for this, and this person gave $500, and that's so amazing. They're the best person ever because they gave so much money. And so we really wanted to take that focus away from the money and uh-huh. put it on the intent, the sincerity, and the working together, you know? And so anybody who gives a dollar is as much, anybody who didn't give a dollar but shared it is as much an important part of this process yes. of ARMY making a difference in the world as anybody else that gave $100 or something, you know? And that's so awesome. Changing that kind of, you know, getting over that mindset, because that's sort of something that, you know, you see in a lot of organizations. They focus mm-hmm. on how much money can we raise, how much money, you know, and so it ends up with people feeling bad. I only have a dollar. I can't really contribute that much. I'm not doing that much, you know, and that's not true. You're doing a heck of a lot. So I'm really happy that now, you know, I think that people are really starting to latch on to that message and feel yes. valuable in whatever way that they contribute to any campaign.
And out of all the projects, you guys have been around for 2 years now, I believe. 2 years? Wow. In the whole 2 year span, I know there was a lot of projects, but what are some of your favorite projects that you guys have worked on?
Oh my gosh, this is such the hardest question, because there have been some amazing ones, and some of them were amazing because of what we accomplished. And mm-hmm. I have to say one of my still favorites was one of our earliest ones. I think it was July in our first year. We started mm-hmm. We started the project in March, developing the project, and then our first campaign was in April 2018. So mm-hmm. now we're just past April 2020, so we're just about two years and a month and old. And and so one of our first projects was in July with an organization called Thirst Relief. And that kind of sticks in my mind a lot, because I feel that it is one of the most long-lasting impacts that we had. Because what Thirst Relief does is it provides water filters for people that are living in areas that have no access to clean water. And so, you know, the water has a lot of like parasites, or, you know, it's just unclean. It's coming from unclean sources. And because of that, people are not able to, you know, they're constantly getting sick from the water. You know, the sanitation is a problem. And, you know, sometimes they can't work. They can't go to school because they're constantly sick from the water. So they provide these biosand filters that mm-hmm. Will take all the pollutant out of the water and provide safe water for families. Now, the reason I like this this campaign so much is the amount of impact. Now, you have to realize we were still only about 2 months old at this time, so we were still like kind of a tiny little thing. And but we, each biosand filter can filter up to, can provide for a household of up to 10 people, you know, their daily needs. And it lasts for 25 years. Okay. So, and they're about, at the time it was about $100 to produce one. They're very, you know, not high tech, you know, but they're very, very effective. And so what we did was we raised about 30, enough for 30 filters. And so if you think about that, that's 30 filters, each one is good for about 10 people. So that's 300 people for the next 25 years that they will have clean water and they don't have to worry about constantly being sick from, you know, typhoid and all kinds of things from, the diseases that were, that are in the water. So, I mean, at that time, I mean, that means someone could be born and grow up to be Jungkook's age and never have to deal with that problem in their family that they like, I mean, it was mind blowing, you know, when we sat and thought about the effect that ARMY had for all of these people. Not only that, but they sent us pictures of the families that got the filters and everything. That's so cool. We were able to share those. And I mean, it was absolutely incredible. So even though that was one of our earliest campaigns, it sticks out a lot for me. Another one that really has an ongoing effect. There is an organization called GUM, which is Korean for Dream. And we did that one for Jungkook's birthday projects in the first year. And we've really had a great relationship with them ever since. I mean, even recently, they hosted a game night for people that have been supporting them. And they invited ARMY to come along because we had supported them so much, like over the course of the last couple of years. And during that campaign, they support orphanages in Korea. So they're based in the U.S., but they support orphanages in Korea. And ARMY's raised for two semesters of college scholarships for two of their scholars, and 1 year of a preschool scholarship for one of the younger children. And he was so amazing. Adorable. Oh my gosh. We had a picture of him and he had the cutest little chubby baby feet. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's ARMY's baby right now. Oh my gosh. It's so, so that's yeah. So that was something. And, you know, so we still have a really nice ongoing relationship with them. And, you know, when something's going on with them, they will reach out to ARMY and, you know, make sure that they know that we're friends, they're friends of ARMY. And, you know, so it's great. It's really great having that, that relationship. So, I mean, there are tons more I can think of.
Oh yeah. No, I'm sure.
But those are some of my personal favorites because of the early and long lasting impact of those. So I like them a lot.
No, it's really nice to hear about a couple of projects that you guys have worked on and just the impact that it has created. So I can't wait because there's more projects going on. But are there any ongoing projects and charities that you would like to share with us and our listeners?
So we just completed a project for, you know, once the COVID-19 situation hit, that kind of became the foremost concern for a lot of people. And so since it was our anniversary in April, the anniversary of our first campaign, what we did for that was to revisit the organizations that we've worked with in the past and to see what they are doing now that, you know, COVID-19 is an issue and seeing that they need support because, you know, some of them are not even able to operate because of the situation. And so they've had to like revamp their entire programs and everything. So we revisited a whole bunch of those organizations and not all of them are dealing with things like, you know, I mean, the obvious things that people need, medical supplies and food supplies and things like that. But there are also things like, for instance, an organization called CHAP, which is the Children's Healing Art Project. They would go into hospitals with children that are in long-term hospital care and give them art projects, you know, art therapy and things like that. Wow. Now the children, since the COVID-19 hit, and they're obviously extremely high risk, they're completely isolated from their family and nobody can come visit them and things like that. Oh, so now CHAP has to find a way to get the projects to them without causing them a risk. So they put together a whole thing of sending them like kits and working on, you know, online projects and things like that. So those sorts of things that people don't normally think of that were a result of COVID-19, not just the medical supplies, but things like isolation, Mind Leaps in does dance school programs with refugees, and you know, they can't do those either. And also they employ the refugees as the teachers for the projects. They train them and employ them, and so that is their only means of employment. So now they need to be able to support their staff during this time. So those kinds of things that, you know, are like the lesser known effects of COVID-19 on these projects. So we supported that. And then now that project has just completed. But of course, as always, our projects are always open. You can always find the links. We're, you know, like we ask them, can we keep it open? Because people will find this months later and want to support one of these projects. So, so all the projects are, you know, we have special pages for Army to donate, and they are always open. And now that that project is completed, we are working on the BTS anniversary project, and it's called Seven with Army. And it consists of seven different projects, and this is probably the biggest thing that we've worked on so far, because we are collaborating with at least 30, maybe close to 50 fan bases.
And actually, disclaimer, as of right now, they have close to 80 and possibly more fan bases that joined in.
And so what we're doing is we developed seven different aspects of the project. And so they have things that any of the fan base can take, you know, aspects of them to do. So there is the donation aspect, which is, Yeah, there's a donation, the charity donation. I'm just going to run through them really quick. There's donating part of you, which is like if you want to give blood, donate hair, things like that. In certain areas that can do that, like not everybody can do each part. So whichever ones think that they have local resources that they can do. And then there is, let's see, there's the free rice game, which is the Ann Pan Van Journey. And that's a game just to... I don't know if you're familiar with free rice. It's generated by the World Food Program, and they run on advertisements. So you play a little game and they ask like simple questions, and every question you get right, it donates the equivalent of 10 grains of rice, they say. They count it in rice to the World Food Program. That's awesome. And I mean, it's not literal rice. It's, you know, but that's how they count it. But that's, you know, it generates donations from the ads on the page. And so right now, BTS Army has been the top group on the leaderboard in free rice for, I mean, I want to say like a year now. We've been at the top, but now we have the Ann Pan Van Journey, which is kind of like a reboot and another way to get us involved in playing with that. That's so cool. And so there was also going to be a volunteering project where we can go out and volunteer, but of course, once COVID-19 hit, that plan had to change. So now what it does is volunteering your skills. So that's volunteering, like we call it learning with Army. So people send in videos of little how-to skills that they know how to make and know how to do, and, you know, share that with each other. And that's another part of it. We also have Find Me BTS, which is a challenge using Ecosia. And, oh gosh, what's the other... I'm blanking on it, but I'll give it to you in a second. It's a search challenge using search engines that plant trees for every search that you make. So a lot of the fan bases are getting involved in that, and they're, you know, doing games and challenges on searching up things on the internet using these browsers, and those will plant trees for every search, or like maybe every 10 searches that happen, you plant a tree. So these are ways that people can get involved if they're not able to donate anything or, you know, volunteer anything. You can always play Free Rice. You can do the browser games and search. I didn't even mention, I'm so sorry. The donation aspect is with the Global Food Banking Network. And mm-hmm. so that's the fundraiser that we're promoting, the Global Food Banking Network. And, you know, that is just basically they're getting people that are, you know, losing access to food and food security, food during the COVID-19 crisis, and by working with food banks. And each of the fan bases that we're working with, they are also have their own individual local resources, because some people in some countries, they can't necessarily donate outside of their country. And some of them, you know, they need something more local. They would like to support something local. So in addition to the main fundraiser with the Global Food Banking Network, each of the fan bases, you know, may have their own projects that they're doing. So it's a pretty big project, and it's sprawled out all over the place, and there's a lot of people involved in it, and it's been really, really fun getting to know the people in the different bases, and, you know, translating mm-hmm. things into different languages. I mean, sometimes when I see armies, you know, the projects translated in so many languages, I'm like, wow, this fandom is really something incredible. You know, right? I'm so proud of Army every single day. So this is really a great project, and I'm so glad that we're able to, you know, all collaborate on something this big together.
Right. No, it's going to be amazing. And I can't wait to also share that online on Twitter and everything. But also, you guys have also been working on another project, and it was called the Purple Podcast. I mean, would you like to talk about that or explain that to us for those who are listening?
Yeah. So the Purple Podcast, it's on hold for right now because mm-hmm. of the crisis is shaking up some things. So it was with Dive Studios, and it was basically going to be a celebration of Army and the amazing fandom that Army is, and just mm-hmm. discussing the impact that we've had on each other's lives and around us, and just, you know, celebrating this incredible, unique fandom, you know? Yes. And so, you know, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of details on the workings of it, because we were like coming, you know, collaborating. I know that some of the proceeds were to go to charity. So our role in that was to help, you know, facilitate that and research, use our research team to help with that. And, you know, look out for armies that had stories to tell, and, you know, ways that people have impacted each other. So we're really looking forward to it. It hasn't been canceled. It's just on hold briefly. And so we're definitely looking forward to that project, because it's going to be really, really cool. So, you know, we're so happy to have these opportunities. I mean, I'm so happy to be on your podcast as well.
Thank you.
I'm like a big fan of your channel, and tell Jose I'm a huge fan of his channel too. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I love you.
No, thank you. No, we can't wait for the Purple Podcast, because it's also a platform for armies to voice out their stories, and also it's also giving back and by donating and having charities. So keep an eye out for that, you guys. And also, what is a good website and social media for them to follow, so they could also follow along with all the projects?
Okay, so our social medias are all One in an Army. So we're One in Army on Twitter, Facebook. We have a YouTube channel. We would love if you would subscribe to that channel, because we have all of our old campaign videos. So if you would like to catch up on our past projects, and all of the Learning with Army videos we're hosting on our channel too. So
awesome.
If you want to see all of the channels, today I learned how to draw RJ and RK from BT21 and I also got a nice piano tutorial for The Truth Untold. So those were absolutely beautiful. I did those today. And so there have been like Korean lessons and exercise, body, you know, stretching lessons, all kinds of stuff, like anything that armies know how to do. So that's up on our YouTube channel, One in an Army on Twitter. We're also on, let's see, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Amino. All One in an Army, and also our website is oneinanarmy.org. Mm-hmm. And all of this is like self-hosted. We pay for the hosting and everything. So nothing is asking for donations or anything. This is all a volunteer project by us. So for Armies by Armies. Nice. Oh, and you should check out the map. I mentioned it briefly, but it's probably one of the coolest things we have now. And that is a map of Army projects, all Army charity projects all around the world. And it's on a Google map. And I'm going to give you the link on the bit.ly is Army Charity Map. You know, bit.ly/Army Charity Map. And that will show you a global map with pins in the cities. You can zoom in and see, and you can click on them and see the projects, you know, food drives and tree plantings and all the amazing things that armies have done. You definitely need to check out that map because it's one favorite things to pull up and just show people. And look at what we did. We're all over the world. If you see, you can't even see some countries anymore. They're so covered in pins, you know. Like, so that's one of my favorite things. And so that's where you can find us. And we are really loving having armies get on board. And every month someone new comes up and said, I didn't even know about this, and this is so cool, and I want to get involved. And so our family is growing and growing and growing, and we just love reflecting the beauty of Army back to each other, because that's what it's all about.
Sharing positivity and love, and realizing that each and every one of us is important. We play a role in this community.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Thank you.
BTS has been such an incredible inspiration, and we're so thankful. I mean, it was some of your videos that really got me I was like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, this story is amazing. It's so incredible. How can I find out more? And then I got on Twitter and it was over from there. So,
my God. Yeah, let me go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think about how each of us plays such an interesting role in, you know, bringing other people into the family and, you know, bringing the positivity that BTS puts in the world to others, you know? And so we're all helping that, and we're all reflecting that, and it's really cool.
It's beautiful to see. But once again, Erica, thank you so much for taking your time to sit down, chat with us, and share your wonderful fan base.
Thank you.
Named One in an Army. But please, you guys, please check them out. Check out all of their website. Check out their social media links if you're on Twitter, Facebook. Also, YouTube. I need to check that out because your girl needs to learn.
Yes, definitely. Come do the learning with Army, because that's, you know, a lot of people are just putting their skills into it, and it's a lot of fun, so...
That's so awesome. Yes. Thank you, Erica. Hope to talk to you again later.
Okay.
Bye.
So what did you think about this episode, Roseanne?
It was filled with a lot of news, like always. And also, this interview was really fun. It warms my heart interviewing people from all types of different backgrounds, especially when we have a whole fan base that's dedicated to charity, and to hear about how much armies have helped a lot of people out there on the world, and just show how passionate and loving we are. How did you feel about this episode, Jose?
The same. I love talking about August D. I love talking about the streams that we have every week. I'm always looking forward to talking about everything that's going on with BTS and ARMY. But also, you knocked it out of the park again, Roseanne. Thank you so much for stepping in. And thank you guys for understanding that, like, I couldn't make it. But... hopefully, everything will work out for our next podcast episode, where we have another planned special guest interview. Yes. Please look forward to it, guys.
Can't wait. But guys, if you want to stay updated with us, follow us on Twitter at @InterludeArmyPD. Again, that's @InterludeArmyPD, and that's where we post updates and things to just look forward to.
And we also have our email if you want to send any type of feedback, comments, or your love Army letters or voice recordings. And that email is interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com. Again, interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com.
Woohoo! So that is our episode for today. Make sure to stay tuned for next week's episode. And thank you again for tuning in, and have an amazing week, you guys.
Yes, thank you so much, Army, for supporting.
Bye, Jose.
Bye, Roseanne.
Too.
Have a great week.
Okay, bye, guys. Kim Nam-joon, Kim So-jin, Min Yoon-hee, Young Ho-seo.